I started to get, so prophecy came relatively easily, but healing, I'm telling you, I had this impression. I don't know how I got it. I got it from my culture. I didn't get it from the Bible. But I thought, okay, I finally accepted that I was a prophetic and that Philip's daughters prayed and prophesied. And 1 Corinthians, 11, is it? Where that? Well, no, which scripture? Where women had to have a head covering if they prayed and prophesied. I thought, well, yeah, I guess you actually can pray silently, but you can't prophesy silently. So obviously the women were talking out loud. So, you know, I mean, I was really having to go all through the Bible, which I love, and I started to do all these things. So I was prophesying, and I began to get these prophecies about healing. Now, you would think that having read the Bible as much as I read the Bible, that it would be obvious to me that people, all Christians, are supposed to pray for the sick. Especially elders, because it says, you know, pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, and in the book of James, and you know, there's many scriptures like the one I'm about to read to you. It says this, Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. How many of you believe that as believers, we're supposed to do that? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. Are you a believer here tonight? So these are signs that are just byproducts of being a believer. I'd read this I don't know how many times. In my name they will cast out demons. Have all the believers in this room cast out demons? Okay, any of you haven't cast out a demon yet, you're a believer, you haven't cast out a demon yet, wave your hands. Okay, this is supposed to be a byproduct of believers, okay? They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents if they drink any deadly poison. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many believers have never laid hands on the sick and seen them recover? Okay, just raise your hands. It's okay, you know. Have laid hands and never seen them recover. How many of you have laid hands on the sick and seen them recover? Okay, just... Well, this is an awesome, this is a Faith Works church. So, but there was still a slight discrepancy between those two questions. Anyway, so in my mind, this is what I was thinking. Even though I'd read scriptures like that, and there's many places in scripture where it talks about that, I kind of thought, okay, I get it, I have the gift of prophecy. So God gives gifts individually as he wants, and the gift I got is prophecy, and so that took me off the hook for healing. Somebody else had the anointing for healing, and they would heal the sick, and I would prophesy, and somebody else would do it. And I kind of, in my mind, it's not in the Bible, but it was in my mind, pretty entrenched. And I had really taken myself completely off the hook. If somebody needed healing, I would run around the church as the pastor's wife and find somebody I knew that had a gift of healing and get them to pray for the sick. Because I thought, well, I've got this job, they've got that job, and I was not biblical. I didn't desire ever healing. I never desire eagerly spiritual gifts. Okay? I didn't do it. I just kind of thought, I got this gift. And then suddenly I started to get all these words. Stacy, you know, you're going to heal the sick. I would get these prophecies from everywhere. And that's what the prophetic is supposed to do. It starts to begin to call out destinies that are exceeding abundantly above anything you can ask or think. Because most of us, if left to ourselves, would have a totally shrunken Bible. And a totally shrunken Christian life. And we would go nowhere. Some of us have never left the island. Huh? Go into all the world and preach, you know? And we don't kind of think, well, that's somebody else's call. I've never been called. The Bible says to go. You don't need a call. Keith Green, in the days, Jesus commands us to go. That's part of the text, okay? Just go. First you're Jerusalem, then Judea. And I'm just saying, yes, you're all deputized to be missionaries. You're all deputized to heal the sick. You can do it all. There's nothing in the book. The book is for whosoever will. It's all about who wants to. If you want it, just you can start with nothing but desire and just say, God, I would like to do that. And then even sometimes when you don't like to do it, he says, do that, you know? And most of the time with these things, he expects things of us that we never even ask him for, even though it's very clear in the book if we read it line upon line and precept upon precept. So I had talked myself out of the gift of healing, and suddenly I started getting all these words, Stacy, you're going to heal the sick. You know, you're not only going to prophesy, you're going to heal the sick. And they would give me these amazing words about healing the sick. Now, I didn't like this verse. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. And the reason I didn't like the verse is because I tried to cast out demons before. Now, when we were Plymouth Brethren, we used to be very zealous. We were great for the first part of that verse, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We loved preaching the gospel. We did evangelistic ministry. We'd go out on the streets. We'd lead people to Jesus. And, you know, we brought them. They'd get saved. They'd come into our little apartment when Wesley and I were first married. And, you know, we had all kinds of people staying with us. And as a result, we found all sorts of paraphernalia that they left behind, knives, drugs, everything. You know, it was like we'd flush it all down the toilet. And it was just glorious days of just preaching the gospel, you know. And then until one day, one of the guys that we had brought into our home, he had just been there about a week. He'd made a commitment to Christ. He'd come out of a pretty wild background. And we didn't believe that Christians could have any demons at all. We were taught that there were no demons in Canada. If there may be a few left in Africa, but, you know, you never seen any, so it was a very low expectation to ever, you know, do anything like that. And so this guy one day phones up our friend. We were at a church service, and he phones up a friend and asks for a ride home, and so Bob goes and gets him. He was staying at our house, and as Bob's driving him home, he starts to act really weird. And so Bob freaks out and phones us, and he said, you know, Wesley and Stacy, you got to come home right now. There's something really wrong with Ron. We said, what? He said, well, he's acting really weird. Like, what? Well, I was driving him home, and when I put him in the car, he just seemed weird, and I sat him in the front seat, and he began to snarl at me, you know, like that. And he said, it scared me. So he said, I said, stop that, Ron, stop it. And he wouldn't stop it. He kept, you know, kind of grabbing at me. So he said, I put him in the back seat. And when I put him in the back seat, I'm driving him home. I'm going to drop him at your house. But but he said, then suddenly he said, I feel him grab the seatbelt. And he grabs the seatbelt and puzzles it against my neck, leans forward and goes, I am Legion. And Bob says, that's weird. That's really weird. I don't want you to come home right now. Now, we had read the Bible, and we knew that in the Bible it said, where I am Legion, there was demons. Now, this is the first guy we'd ever seen with any demons anywhere. So we were waxing super eloquent. We took out our Bibles. We said, we're going to cast out demons. And I took out the Bible, and I would read it out loud, and we're marching up and down. And the more that we prayed, the more violent he got. So we kept phoning more friends. And we sat on him. You know, we had one guy on one arm. We had one guy on the other arm. We kept phoning more friends because he was like had the strength of 10 men. So we put one guy on one leg, one guy on the other, and Wesley sat on his stomach, and Wesley shouted at him. He was just shouting away, come out, come out. And he wouldn't come out. And in fact, worse than not coming out, he began foaming at the mouth. His eyes rolled back. It was just like Exorcist 2, although I've never seen Exorcist. But it was like, you know, everything in the Bible, the foaming at the mouth, the, you know, the strength of all these people, like the Gadarene demoniac, where, and, you know, I am Legion, the actual words were, you know. And so I just kept reading the Bible louder, and we kept phoning more friends, and, you know, and finally Wesley was saying, come out, come out. And he started picking out sins of people in the room. And he starts saying, hey, you do this, and you lust after flesh, and you do this. And so now Wesley's getting nervous. So Wesley's sitting on him. So Wesley's sitting on him, and, you know, he sits on him, and he says, shut up. And when he starts picking out everybody's sins, Wesley says, you shut up. And he took off his sock and stuck it in his mouth. Ha ha ha. We were like the disciples. We couldn't cast him out, you know. You know, anyway, we couldn't. And it was getting worse and worse. So finally, we exhausted all the friends. We thought maybe we should call the elders. So we called the elders of our church, and they came over, two or three of them, and they looked at him. They looked at us. They looked at us sitting on him, and they said, call the ambulance. So we called the ambulance because they didn't know what to do either. We said, no, just send him to the hospital. So we sent him to the hospital. We thought, we got rid of him. He's not in our house. Yeah, we'll let those nurses take care of him. Anyway, about an hour later, the hospital phones us back and says, there's absolutely nothing wrong with him. You'll have to pick him up and bring him back to your house. I am telling you, we did not sleep a wink. We were like, oh, you know, we barred the door. We locked it, you know. We stuck him over there and we said, you know, and we figured out what to do. We knew some charismatics, Agape Force. We phoned Agape Force and we said, we got this guy that has seemed to have some problems. Can we ship him to you? And we took up a collection and we put him on a plane the next day and sent him to Texas. So when I started getting prophecies about healing, I started going back to these verses, and I would read things like that in my name. They will cast out devils. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at that. I relegated, you know, deliverance to another anointing either. When I actually even started to believe that these things were for today and that it actually happened and stuff, I just really slotted my thinking, well, that I do not have deliverance mission. No, you know. So I'm in Holland a few years ago, and I'm just worshiping away, just a worship time like tonight. It was awesome. The worship hits this crescendo, and I'm just up there raising my hands and singing to the Lord, and I hear the Lord say, he said, Stacy, I want you to call out everybody. I want you to stop the worship, get up, call out everybody who's involved in the occult. And I'm thinking, the first thing I thought about was the sock. Okay, remember me, this is me. I don't have that ministry. Just do it. And you know, you have those split seconds of either obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know what I mean? And I thought, well, that's what he wants. Okay, so I actually did it. I have these moments when I know the Lord's talking to me that I do anything. It's afterwards that I'm filled with, you know, like, why do you do that? But when I get back in the flesh, so I stopped everything. I just stood right up and I said, and I'm thinking, I'm at a Christian conference. There can't be people involved in the occult here. But the lady that, one of the people in the leadership team had come out of Satanism. So I guess that's why the Lord said that. But I kind of added to the word. I thought, how can there be? So I'm trying to rationalize. So I said, is there anybody here that's involved in the occult or has been involved in the occult? I thought I would help the Lord out, you know. I actually added that part to it. And shockingly, it was a conference of about, you know, 1,700 people. About 25 people just flooded the aisles, just started coming straight up. And then I didn't actually think anybody would be there that were from, you know, occult. So I didn't know what to do next. And I was in Holland. And I don't know if you know this, but the Dutch are the tallest people in the world. Honestly, that's actually who they are. So all of these tall Dutchmen came up and I'm standing there and I remember thinking, okay, now what do? I had no idea. And all I could think of was the sock, and I'm getting more like nervous by the moment. So I walked up to this guy. He was this tall Dutchman. All I could reach was his shoulder. And I put my hand on his shoulder. I've got like 1,700 people looking at me as though I know what I'm doing. But I have a principle, fake it till you make it. So I just stood there and I said, I guess I was thinking, what am I should do? And I should probably say in Jesus' name. That's what I should do. So I said, I touched his shoulder and I said, in Jesus' name. And when as soon as I said in Jesus' name, this Dutchman, I guess he was Dutch, he bent over like this, like instantly, just like, you know, like, and then he looked. And he went, and I'm looking at him. And when he did that in front of everybody, I was so shocked. I went, like this, you know. And then I remembered who I was in God and who God was in me. And I stepped forward and I said, in Jesus' name again. And as soon as I said, in Jesus' name again, he started throwing up. And about 10 or 15 of the 25 people started throwing up all over the floor. And I said, buckets, we need buckets. You know, I was like, I didn't know what, I said, keep singing. I didn't want everybody to look at them. It was really messy, actually. But I told you that story. It's an important point that you can go from failure, you know, from socks to mass deliverance. If you just keep on believing. Now, I had learned a few things and then I think I had grown somewhat. But this is an expectation that it doesn't matter where you start. See, this is the point. A lot of us have a few failures behind us. And so then we kind of say, well, that's not my ministry. And even though it's in the Bible, we take the expectation off ourselves and we don't even try anymore. If we try, you know, once or twice and fail, then we just stop trying and then we say, well, that's somebody else's gift. And most of us turn into spectators watching other people do what the Bible says every whosoever will should do and what believers, all believers do. And that's not just me. I know there's more of you in here that were like me, you know. So I'm preaching to you. Yes, I'm preaching to you. Because if I have to do it, you have to do it too. But it goes on to say, you know, that all the things that believers, what happens as a side effect of being a believer, it just accompanies you, that you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, I read that verse. I read all these verses about healing. I mean, we were involved in the Vineyard movement for some time. It was John Wimber's big teaching, and we had so much teaching on healing, healing, healing. And then I began to get all these prophecies on healing because I had developed a mindset that wasn't my gift. So God kept trying to tell me that was my gift. And so this is what I did. After I got about 3 or 4 prophetic words on healing, they were grandiose words. They were like, you will, you know, the Lord doesn't want you just to prophesy about healing and you'll walk in a great healing anointing like Catherine Kuhlman. Or, you know, and the strange thing is I would get that type of a word, you know, from one country, then I'd fly to another country and somebody else would pick me out of a crowd and say that same thing in another country. And so I knew there was no collusion, you know, my analytical mind was, you know, and I felt like, you know, it was confirmed by the mouth of 2 or 3 or 20 or 30. And so I thought I should probably try to obey the Lord and do it, even though you don't need a prophecy, you can just read the Bible and do it, okay? Just say it. So I started saying, okay, well, the Lord wants me to heal the sick. And the way my mind works is that I just think God is so great and that God is so amazing and that God is so powerful. And I like to meditate attribute by attribute on God. And some, you know, I just think about God has all power and all authority. You know, his name is above every other name, far above principalities and powers. And, you know, so I think of that, and this is who God is to me. And so I was thinking, you know, that it was rational to me to say, well, that, you know, a wheelchair is like a headache and a wheelchair are the same to God. Like, God, that power of God, like to heal a headache or to heal a wheelchair, that would be the same. So I thought, well, you know, I actually started, after I got those prophecies, to just look for the hardest case I could find. I started looking for the wheelchairs, and I would go up, and I'd say, well, God says I'm going to do this. I'm going to lay hands on the sick, and, you know, he's going to heal them, and wheelchairs. And I would go after wheelchairs. I would go after the hardest case, and I would do it week after week after week, and nobody ever got healed. Ever. I'd say, can you move anything? Can you do anything? How about wiggle it slightly? Maybe anything, you know, anything, you know. And now, so I was saying, wow, that, you know, and then I would get another prophetic word. So I would launch out with great faith, and then I would not see any results, and I'd kind of slink backwards. And then I'd get another prophetic word, and I'd try again, and I was always really, really trying. I tried week after week, month after month, with more or less, you know, success or faith, you know, for about 3.5 years. And one day, you know, I tried again and nobody ever got healed. I'm praying for the sick all the time and nobody's ever getting healed. And I'm ready to go back to my former thinking that wasn't my gift, and I'd get another prophecy, heal the sick, and I'm all.